You know, I can on a very serious, all my just kidding aside. You know, when Kendall and Kenny, those that know Kenny, he would have driven back 2 hours from where they are just to be here this morning. And it was on our way home from a job in Evansville we were at. And I said, have you Googled how far it is away for your camping site to here? He goes, it's a little bit. And he Googled it as an hour and 50 minutes. So you're going to drive an hour and 50 minutes home for church, have church, and then you might as well just pack up and go home. It's that long. And it took him everything to cancel because he doesn't like missing church. So I just want to encourage you. We're so blessed to have him on our team here. And Kendall, but to know that they can leave, and I'd say this with all seriousness, to know they can leave in the job they have and have this band and this ministry, it's a blessing as a church to have people step up and fill that. So Chad and Jared, especially, and the rest of the band, thanks for stepping up this morning. I really am proud of you all. It's great. So let's get to our message this morning. Memorial Day is a time of remembrance, and so it's a time to recall, to rethink, to get our minds refocused on things that are truth. And one of the greatest things as Christians we do is we forget about the things of the Lord when trials come. There are bad things that happen all around the world, and I said the calamity in Noblesville just this week, and then there's another. There's all these things that are happening. We have kids that are afraid to go to school. We have parents who are afraid to send their kids to school. We have so many things going on in the world around us that there is fear and being driven everywhere we go. And if we don't remember the promises of the Lord, remember His that we are being protected and covered by Him, it's huge. So I'd like to start with, this is Genesis chapter 8 and 9. We're going to talk about the flood. We're going to be cheery this morning, you know, when thousands of people die. But let's at the end of this, the flood is ending in chapter 8. The dove came as a symbol of promise. And in verse 14 of chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, if not, I'm sure here in about 10 seconds, that screen's going to pop up right here. Genesis 8, starting at verse 14. 1, 2, it's less than 10. And the second month, on the 7th, and the 20th day of the month was the earth dried. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, and thy wife, and thy sons, and the wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all the flesh, both the fowl, the cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and may breed abundantly upon the earth, be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his wife, his sons and wives and sons' wives, and every beast, and every creeping thing, and everything on the earth, and their kind, after their kind, went forth of the ark. If Kenny was here this morning, I miss him so much. He's gone for, I'm very referred to, you know, he might work for me. You know, he told someone the other day, he goes, I get to work for him twice. I get to paint with him, and I get to do, this is, and I just said, it's punishment, Kenny. You left your job in the public school system to go and be with me. And then, of course, I don't know if you guys realize this, a couple weeks ago when I called him and asked, and I was actually in Florida, and I said, man, thanks for letting me talk to you. He goes, oh, don't worry, that's what you pay me for. So I just want you to know that he's very, very, very aware that our role sometimes is just business. And I said, and so I hung on the phone thinking, that's not what I was hoping for, because that's what you pay me for. I was like, so the next morning in the sermon, he's talking about our relationship, and I go, I shook my head, and he almost bust out laughing, realizing that the day before he undid that. But, you know, one thing I love about being around him, because when we're, you know, you guys know those, if you're visiting, by the way, I want to welcome you. I didn't get a chance to welcome you properly. But if you're visiting, I do want to welcome you this morning. And those that don't know who Kenny is our assistant pastor, and he's a great guy and an amazing teacher. And he has a heart for this right here. And when you read that scripture right there, and everything after their own kind, the reason why that's important is because this was after the flood, and believe it or not, we have archaeologists and science to prove that something around this 4,000 or so, 5,000 years ago, there was something that covered the earth, and many, many scientists will agree, and actually one paleontologist in Russia who does not know the Bible, like 30 years ago, in the early 80s, he discovered that as he was doing all this science, that somehow we believe that anywhere between 4,000 and 5,000 years ago, or around that time period, the earth seems to be covered with water everywhere. And he is non-biblical, and his name was Stephen Jay Gould, by the way. He's a paleontologist out of Russia. And he wrote this big article thinking how scientifically amazing he was, and then America got a hold of him and go, yeah, we know what that's called. It's called the Bible. the flood of Noah. And all of a sudden, he says this quote, and I remember because back when I used to do apologetics on college campuses and get to talk about people, I used to always have his quote, literally, because he's a leading paleontologist, and he goes, "I will not have a science that begins with a deity." No matter what the facts were, it doesn't matter what science proved, I will not have a science that begins with a god, a deity. And so even though the facts shows, and what's nice is we know that at some point the earth was covered, and when they came off that ark, it said everyone will procreate after their own kind. That means we have males and we have females, okay? We have dogs and we have cats. We now have hybrids of some all kinds. We have, if you've been to my house and see the little, I'm not sure what those are called, but they're some type of dog, but they've been mixed breed and they're tiny, they're yappy, and they're a pain. And they're not mine. They're not mine. Give me a big dog or something. That's a dog. Those things are like, as Kenny calls them, they're my little rats at home. Okay, so we'll just leave it a go. But everything produced after its own kind. So therefore, the evolutionary process is not existing. It didn't happen. God created it, and then after it was created, they kept producing after their own kind. Do you follow? It's just pure Bible 101. And this is why stuff like this is so important. So they get off the ark, and they start living their life. They be fruitful. They multiply. But here, before we read these next verses, this is a group. This small group of people is getting off this big ship. They've been on for a while. That was built for years, and all this stuff is going on. And all the animals get off, and God does one thing, right? Ready? And Noah built an altar, verse 20, unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I want you to hear, this is so powerful. The Lord said this in response to the offering that Noah brought. It's so important. We just saw destruction. I will not curse again the ground for more man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And then he gives us a promise here, as those that have been around the church for a long time, one of my favorite promises, one of my favorite remembrances is in all of Scripture, because this is a concept that gets repeated through the rest of Scripture, and it also does not have an expiration date on it. This is a promise that exists forever. While this earth remains, so there's your expiration date. As long as we're here, this promise does not expire. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I will not bring destruction. I will not bring calamity. And so when we think of all the things that are coming in, God is not going to bring this. So all the fears and worries, God is not the author of this. He said he wouldn't do it. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Jump down to verse 9. This is the Lord, behold, I establish my covenant with you and the seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, the fowl, the cattle, the every beast of the earth, and from going out of the ark and every beast of the earth, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall there be flesh cut off or by the waters of a flood, neither shall be any more of a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. This is a promise that we can hold God to. Now you think, well, why do you got to hold God to this? Just saying. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, the waters shall become no more flood to destroy the flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of the flesh that's upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and you and all the flesh that's on the earth. This weekend we talk about remembering those that have honored our nation. But I want to remind you that we have a God who's a God of covenant. And when he says something in his word, he performs it. He does it. And he made a deal, a covenant, with Noah right here, that pertains to us. Can you see? It says perpetual generations. It never ceases as long as the earth is here. God makes a promise. And why that's important, and I'm not going to turn here this morning, but in Exodus 32, if you remember, this was not a good chapter in our Bible that you want to go back and have a party over. But this is when Moses went up to hang out with God, brought his buddy with him here and said, hey, you know what? We need to go and get away from what's going on so we can meet with God. And so Joshua only went up halfway the mountain, but Moses went all the way up. And while they were gone, something happened. And if you remember the scriptures, it's so fun that, Aaron, they came down and Moses was mad. And remember, the anger of God was so great. God said, would you mind putting this verse up, by the way, for me? It's Exodus 32:14. And so God was so angry. Him and Moses had a conversation. God said, Moses, these are your people. They're stiff-necked. And Moses goes, oh, no, God, they're your people. they were arguing back and forth. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do to his people. Now, you read that verse, and open your Bible. Let's go there. Exodus 32. I can't pass by it. I'm trying to jump ahead so I don't take forever today. But let's just jump. So, oh my goodness. I would not do it justice by just giving an overview. It'd be wrong of me. So anyways, the calf is coming out of the fire. The people are dancing. Moses is burning up with anger. God is angry at this, what he is seeing. And verse 9, let's jump into verse 32, verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them and make thee a great nation. I'll get rid of them and make you good. I'm going to do something I'm going to take care of the problem. And Moses besought the Lord of God, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against your people? Oops. hey, God, they're your people. And why has you brought forth out of the land of Egypt with the great power of the mighty hand? I don't know about you, but have you ever talked to God this way? God, they're your people. Why are you so mad? You're the one who brought them out. I just don't know if I can do that. But so verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out and slay them in the mountains and consume them in the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Imagine you talking to God this way. God, stop being so mad and don't kill your people. And then this is where it gets powerful. Verse 13, the key word of this morning, remember. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self. You swore by your own self. And said to them, I will multiply your seed in the stars and the heavens and the land, and I have spoken that I will give you the seed, and they shall inherit forever. And now with the verse I just read. And the Lord repented. He changed his mind of the evil which he had thought to do in his people. And Moses turned and went down to the mountain, the tables, and then they went forth with a plan. When we read that scripture, why did God change his mind? Because he gave his word, he wouldn't do it. He gave his word, and his word is what he swears by. His word, his character, and his nature is all the same. When God says it, he will do it. When he says he won't do it, he will not do it. And therefore, there are times where I'm going to give you a little teaching this morning. And in a minute, because I'm going to jump ahead of my notes. Let me get back. We're going to exercise this because it's very powerful. God's word is going to work when you learn to remember it and you declare it out. We have to learn that when we have a time of remembrance, I want to challenge the church this morning to have a time of remembrance of what God says about your circumstances. We're a church, because I believe the scripture says, that God wants to have you walk in healing, blessing, in peace, in joy. He wants these things. You know, as I told you, 3 John verse 2 is one of my favorite verses. Beloved, above all else, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health as your soul may prosper. God wants and longs for us to live a life of being in peace and being in prosperous and to be healthy. So if our bodies aren't lining up with it, we've got to get the word activated inside of us like Moses did right here, and he pleaded with God according to his own word. So part two of this, let me jump on, is let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. One of the verses we quote so often. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by who? By who? By us. How is God's promises established in our lives? By us. Okay. Jump over a couple books. We all know this one. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that what? Works in us. What is the power that works in us? It's God's Spirit alive in us, but it is the power of calling out those things to be not as though they were. It's the power that God used to create the world with as he spoke into the world into existence. By faith, he says in Hebrews 11, he spoke the word. When we get to a place in our lives that we can remember the good of God and stop thinking of the bad. And the reason why I use the flood as the example is this. When tragedy hits any life, any circumstance, and we go back and think about the flood, we could either think of the flood in one of two ways. I cannot believe God chose to kill all those people. Anybody want to be real for a minute? There are people today that do not serve our God because of that example. All they think is a mass genocide. I know a young man who has served the Lord faithfully his whole life and today will not serve the Lord because he looks as this, as that is the God that kills his people. You can look at it that way, but you can also look at it as that, you know what? God blessed the earth, gave them instructions how to do it, and their discipline and the consequence of their sin was death. Yet God chose to raise up a generation through Noah and redeem the land, and now he said, I won't do it again. He sends his son Jesus. It's time to bring life rather than death. So I look back at the promises, and I don't get upset, but it's all about how you want to remember it. I remember the flood as a God who restored humanity and brought a promise to us that he will not bring destruction but life to us. And we are now living that season where if you exercise the last verse in chapter 8, seed time and harvest, what those people sowed, they reaped. Now God says, you're going to sow and reap it, but I won't destroy you for it. I like that promise that God's not going to destroy. God is not the author of killing people. And he doesn't want that. So when we understand our God, we have to go back and remember who his character is. He loves us and wants to do great things for us. But we've got to get our mindset around that rather than in the back of your mind wondering, if I'm really going to go pray for someone to be healed, does God really want this? If I'm really going to pray for someone that God will show up in the middle of their circumstance and give them hope, is God really going to be there? And the answer is yes, he will. He will always honor his word. And that's what happens right here. So let's jump into Lamentations chapter 3. I want to give a couple more verses and then I'm going to just close this morning. Lamentations 3, starting at verse 21. You're all like, where is Lamentations? You know what? It's right there. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. What did I do? I recalled. I remembered in my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Verse 22. I'm just going to read it off the screen today. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. This morning, if there's the greatest thing I can get you before we leave here, is that God's word works for you. And you have to consistently have one thing in mind, is you got to call to remembrance. You got to bring it to remembrance. So the very last scripture I'm going to turn you with, and then I'm going to close the sermon by preaching a minute with you. Psalms 103, I really don't even have to turn there, but Psalms 103 says this, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless his holy name. Forget not, or another way to say it, remember his benefits. What does he do? He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all those people that are oppressed. I will stand on the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Adam, don't forget his benefits. Remember his benefit. The benefit of being a born-again believer is he forgives my sins, he heals my diseases, he satisfies my mouth with good things, he renews my strength. This is the God that we serve. And so whenever you don't feel renewed, whenever you don't feel healed, whenever you don't feel blessed, whenever you don't feel forgiven, you are now living contrary to what his promises said he will do for you. So what do we have to do? We have to ask that in John 14:26, it says the Holy Spirit will come in and call to remembrance those things which the Lord said to you. So in John 14, he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he will help you as a recall button on your phone, right? You have a little recall button who you call that. I will recall the scripture. I'll recall the word of the Lord that you can use at the time you need it. The Holy Spirit, one of the main jobs he has in our life is to call to remembrance the word of God that's already in you. The word of God that should be dwelling in you. And this is why as Christians, it's vital for us. If you look at your devotional time as something you have to do every day, let's get out of that. I look at every time I open up my Bible as a time for this to get inside of this. Because then I have more for the Holy Spirit to call forth from when I need it. This is the power of God. This is the word of God. And this doesn't change. So when this gets inside of me, the Holy Spirit has something to pull forth from. The steadfast love of our God. His mercies endure every day. And so when you need a day where you're feeling like you need mercy because you have failed or you have fallen or you are struggling and you've lost your peace, the steadfast love of the Lord is real. His mercies are new every day, and the word comes alive in you, and you begin to speak into your circumstances that the life of God is more important than the feelings that you have around you, and therefore you can create a different environment by the word of God, which the Holy Spirit brings forth. And then you've got to speak it. When we call to remembrance, it's not that we think it, we declare it. I was driving there today because I've been driving a lot lately, it seems like. And I was driving, I was by myself going as a little 3-hour drive. I just was feeling a little overwhelmed. Like, I am sick and tired of driving. In the month of May, I've put over 4,000 miles on my vehicle just driving different places. And I am like, I am tired of driving. And so, as I just was feeling a little overwhelmed, and I turned my radio off, and I just began to speak out everything opposite of what I was feeling. I was feeling tired, and I spoke, Lord, I thank you right now that I'm renewed, I'm refreshed today. And I started speaking out, I was frustrated, I was getting angry with some things, and I started going and doing everything the word said for me. I began to speak the promises of God, and within it wasn't even 5 minutes later, that 3-hour drive felt like I was home. Because my mind shifted. It went to a remembrance mode rather than a complaining or a frustration mode. Some of you right now are living stress lives of stress. I was listening to something this week that the way that you spell love to certain people is T-I-M-E, and you give them time. When we don't have time and we feel stressed, when we don't have time, we feel like everything around us is crushing at us, you allow yourselves to get worked up and stressed, that is not the place that God wants us to live. He wants us to live free of that. He wants us to live in peace. And if you can't make decisions that's not in peace because you're being pressured, then you need to pull back, get your peace back before you say yes or no. One of the greatest lessons my dad taught me says, when there's no peace, you don't go. When there's no peace, it's a no. You don't go, and it's a no. Because peace rules your hearts and your minds. Peace is where God is always at. If you lose your peace, you got to get back your peace and find out where you said yes when you should have said no. Do you follow me? We've got to get ourselves to a place where we remind ourselves that the word of God is powerful and peace will rule our hearts and our minds. Where healing becomes something that's expected and not something we're asking for. I am not going to complain. I'm not going to pick anybody. But when I get a chance, and I was just getting, at the hospital last night, hanging out with our brother John, and we're believing for Tuesday to be a good day for your dad, and we're going to continue to stand with him. As he said, this is his quote, they're going to kill me Tuesday, and they're going to put a wire in me and put me back to life again. I said, let's not quite say it that way, but either way, they're going to do some work on him, and we're believing that he's going to have continual days of peace. But as I was just praying, I thought, you know, this is a man, and if you, and obviously, though, no one knows Wendy's dad, and he's a great, he's been a former preacher in California. And as I listened to all his stories, some stories last night about it, the days he preached, and my heart was saddened because he said, I told Wendy this morning, so she already knows I'm going to say this. He said, the reason, well, I loved preaching the word of God. It just meant so much to me. Getting up there and sharing with the people what God's word said was more. And the other reason why is, well, you don't know me, but for the last 30 or 40 years, I've lived in pain every day. And under the anointing of God, I'd walk up to that pulpit and have no pain. And I said to him last night, because I can be honest with him, I've known him for a long time, I said, well, that's the anointing of God that can be on your life every day. I'm believing with John right now, if you'd all agree with your dad and right now, that I'm believing right now that the word of God's going to work even when he's not under the anointing to preach the gospel. But God's word is the one that gives us peace even in the midst of pain. I don't want to settle for anything less than what God has for me. If I'm losing my peace, if I'm living in pain, whether it's physical, emotional, I don't care what it is, if we're not living the life to the fullness that God promises, then we need to change. We need to go back to the remembrance of what God said about you is true. John 10:10 is one of the life verses I've lived by, and you all know it by heart. You should be able to quote it. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, not God. He comes to destroy you, your life, physically, your finances. Let's be honest, man. If you can't pay your bills, is it fun? I mean, all of the, you know, God don't care. God does care. He does care about the you honoring him with your tithes and honoring him and you living the life that he called you. He will bless you. He wants to bless you. He cares about your physical bodies. He cares about your emotional state. And so it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, that you might have life and live it. One scripture says to the fullness. One says more abundantly. Either way, it's good. It's a life full of God's blessing and his provisions. And that this morning is what I want to share with you. That Memorial Day weekend is a time of remembrance, but I want you to remember the promises and the goodness of God. All his promises are yes. You know what? You know why there's no no's in God's kingdom? Because we're relying on his promises, not on your opinions. God, can you heal me? My promises said yes, so there we go. It's yes and amen. Can you bless me? Yes. Yes. So next time you go to your dad, especially these kids over here, glad we're not doing this in the back today. Next time you go, because my kids don't even, I don't know if I have the word no in my vocabulary some weeks. You know, my daughter comes to me, Dad, I graduated. Oh, you're here. Dad, I graduated from, everyone, you know, so-and-so at my graduation gave me this much money, this much money. How much are you going to give me? So I pull my wallet out and say, I don't know, honey. Is that enough? One more? Well, actually, I pull out a 10 to say, that's not enough. Okay. See, I've spoiled my kids. And the problem is I carried cash in the room. That was the biggest mistake. Oh, honey, I can't have no cash on me. Would have worked well. Didn't happen. Either way, imagine going to your Father in heaven. And everything you ask according to his word is yes. Think about that. Everything you ask God according to his word is always a yes. Not, I need to pray about it. Let me think about it. Let me see how much I have in my wallet. It was yes and amen. When we start viewing our God, our Heavenly Father this way, it will radically change the way you pray. And I'm just being blunt. I'm not going to go pray for Tim and say, Lord, I just ask that you just be with Tim and encourage him a little bit, and let your healing just be there for him. No, Lord, I thank you right now. This man is healed by the stripes that Jesus bore on his back, and I just declare healing over him because you said yes and amen. So you said it. I'm just going to say what you said. I'm going to repeat your promise for him, with him, and to him, and therefore I become a conduit of the promises of God over others' lives and my own life. So this morning, I challenge you. The way for victory is you know the promises, you repeat the promises, you declare the promises, because the answer is always yes. We have a God of yes. All his promises are yes. Didn't say, by the way, your promises and your opinions. It says his word. So how do you get his promises? You get his word inside of you. Let's stand this morning. Father, I thank you this morning that as we have a weekend to remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our nation and those that have paid the price for our freedom right here on this physical planet that we live on, this earth, this country we live in. We thank you that we call to remembrance even those lives that were lost in fighting for our freedom. And we do honor those families that ultimately lost a father, a brother, a son, a daughter, a mother. Those that lost their lives, and you know, we sometimes forget the price wasn't just paid by them, but it was their family and the loved ones around them. And so we remember that this weekend. But I also now call to remembrance as Christians the greatest freedom that we have. And that is the word of God calling forth to remembrance in every circumstance in your life. So as we close this morning, where you're standing, I'd like to just challenge you. Let the Holy Spirit bring forth the word that's inside of you, out of you, not just with your mind, but with your words as faith speaks. Romans 10 is very clear. With a heart, a man believes, with a mouth, a man confesses. Confession is made through the mouth, which brings forth the promises of God. Faith cannot be exercised without you speaking it forth. So, Lord, today, I take your word and I declare it over my finances. Anybody in the room right now? And I take your word and I declare that you have called me blessed. That I am a child of God. I am co-heirs of Christ and my inheritance is blessed because I am a child of the King. Lord, I thank you that I'm healed because your word says, by your stripes, I'm healed. Therefore, I grab a hold of the promise and declare it over every ache, every pain, every ounce of just any inconvenience. I don't want to live that way. It's contrary to your word and your promises. So today, I take the word of God and I thank you that I'm healed. Every ounce of pain. We settle for it. Well, it's not cancer. Oh, okay, well then just live with ankle pain. Live with a headache. No. Lord, today we thank you that your word covers all pain, all sickness, all disease. So Lord, we thank you that your word is true. We call to remembrance right now, and we thank you that our God is good and all your promises are yes and amen. Amen. You receive that? And we're going to believe that, and you're going to go this week, and you're going to call to remembrance the things and the promises of the goodness of God. They're going to play a song. While they're playing, why don't you greet somebody, tell somebody to have a great rest of their Memorial Day weekend, whatever cookouts and campouts you have a great weekend, and we'll see y'all next Sunday, if not before, at some other wonderful event.
Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him. the more delights in shore.